We're going to be turning to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we started 2 weeks ago, we started this lesson on dealing with sin. And the first thing we were looking at is if we're going to get to the root of an issue or root of a problem, we need to identify the problem. So the first question we were looking at is, what is sin? The first thing is, sin is transgression. Overstepping the law, the divine boundary between good and evil. So sin is transgression, and we looked at the scriptures for that, Psalm 51 and verse 1, and then Luke 15 and 29. But also, we're seeing there in the second thing, is not only is it transgression, but sin is iniquity, which is an act inherently wrong, whether expressly forbidden or not. The third thing we've seen with sin is it's error, and it could be voluntary or involuntary. When men neglect or pervert the proper means to inform the mind, it's voluntary. Involuntary is when the means of judging correctly are not in their power. And then a good definition is deviation from the law, justice or right, oversight or mistake in conduct. It's an error. So we have transgression, it's iniquity, it's error. The thing that where we left off last week is I was mentioning something about missing the mark. Well, it kind of goes really along with Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I think I was using the example as me and Niels had the experience working in the furniture shop. When you cut something short, it's short. And it doesn't work. You have to toss that piece aside, and you have to get another piece and cut it right. I very vaguely remember, I don't know if Neil would remember this, but I cut a whole bunk of plywood for backs, for aprons, for the sides on the boxes for desk, an inch short, a whole bunk. So I had to cut them into parts, and we had to wait because the plywood was on back order. So when we fall short, that means we fall short. We can't meet that standard. God's telling us here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned." And all just simply means all. That's everybody. There's only one man that ever walked on this earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not, he was without sin. But he says, come short of the glory of God. What's he saying here? He's saying that when we fall short or we miss the mark, we're falling, we fail, we cannot reach the amount, the standard that God has. The only person that can reach God's standard is Jesus, because he was perfect. And he's the one that enabled us to reach the standard because of what he had done for us. So sin is missing the mark. Tonight we're going to start catch up here, and sin is trespass. And I think we have an understanding what trespass. We've seen signs, especially in Montana, on ranches, "Do not trespass." What's that make us want to do? It makes us want to go in because of our sin nature. Sin is trespass. Literally, to pass beyond, to commit any offense, or to do any act that injures or annoys another. In a moral sense, to transgress voluntarily any divine or law or command. The intrusion of self-will into the sphere of a divine authority. And we can take and hold your fingers in Romans, and we can turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So the intrusion of self-will into the sphere of divine authority. So that gives you a little understanding. We understand what trespassing is. So sin is trespass. Sin is lawlessness. And I think we have a little understanding of that too, with some of the things going on in some of the cities in America today. Lawlessness. The quality or state of being unrestrained by law or disorder. Who's the author of disorder or confusion? The devil, Satan. God says God is the God of order. He wants things set in order. He wants things running in smooth things. But Satan wants to destroy that. Everything that God has set forth in the Scriptures, Satan has a counterfeit. We can look at many, many examples. One good example is Noah's the rainbow, which is a covenant between God and Noah, saying he would never flood the earth again because he had the worldwide flood. But look at the world. Look how the world has perverted it. And it's the LGBT, whatever, all that kind of stuff means. But they try to, they're taking something that was good and perverting it. So there's a lawlessness, or could we say spiritual anarchy? They've been calling these people anarchists. These guys are professional at what they do. They're not just protesters. They're people that come in and they're finding the opportunity. Why let a good pandemic go to waste? Basically, is their philosophy. They're trying to push it as far as they can push it. And that's why we need law and order. That's why we need police officers. That's why we need somebody there to enforce the law. But lawlessness. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9. It says, knowing this, let's go back to verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But we see there in verse 9, that the law is not for the righteous. And when we see that, going down the highway, when you see the speed limit sign of 65, and if you're going 65 or under, that means nothing to you. It has no effect on you. But when you exceed 65 miles an hour on the highway, then now the law applies to you because, what, you're a law breaker. Therefore, it could be enforced to pull you over and give you a ticket. So the law was not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, profane, and then it goes on the list. So lawlessness. When we're obeying the law, we find freedom from the law. That's how we can have freedom from the law when we're living obediently to Christ, when we're being obedient. We find that freedom. There's liberty in Christ. So sin is lawlessness. But sin is unbelief. Did you know there's one sin that cannot be forgiven? Does that make sense? I know it sounds weird. And that's the sin of unbelief. If somebody chooses to reject Christ and never change their mind, that sin cannot be forgiven until they change their mind and ask for forgiveness. But the sin of unbelief is the only sin that's never forgiven because they're not willing. It's infidelity, disbelief of divine revelation, disbelief of the truth of the gospel, rejection of Christ as the Savior of men, the doctrines of the doctrines he taught, distrust in God's promises and faithfulness, and then it could be unbelief, because there was a man in the scriptures that said, Lord, help my unbelief. He was lacking faith. He was asking God, and he was asking Jesus to embolden his faith, and that's what he did. He says, Lord, I'm weak in faith, but help my unbelief. So it can be applied in that aspect as well. And then also an insult to divine veracity. Let's turn to John chapter 16 and verse 9. John 16 and verse 9. We're actually going to start in verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." This is Jesus speaking to them, the disciples. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." In verse 9, "of sin," why? "Because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. But of sin, because they believe not on me." What does it say in John chapter 1? He came to his own, but they received him not. In verse 5, in chapter 1 of John, it says, "The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Let's talk about John the Baptist. "He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And what's it say? The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So they received him not. They would not receive him. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God hath abideth on him." So those who have never trusted Christ, and if they're not willing to, because of their unbelief, the wrath of God is already, as it says there in John chapter 3 and verse 36, "The wrath of God abideth on him." And that's the person that does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So sin is unbelief. But then we go from there. So we see what sin is. We looked at all these different aspects of it. But the next question that arises in our mind, once we realize that we have we recognize the problem, but then we ask the question, why do I sin? Why? Well, the first thing we see here, you sin because you inherited a sinful nature from Adam. And a good passage for that is we turn over to chapter 5 of Romans. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Okay. Well, that just doesn't seem fair, does it? Well, that's the way it works. Another scripture we could turn to is Psalm 51 and verse 5. This is the Psalm of David. And it says, "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So we're born into sin. Well, if we turn back to Genesis chapter 6, I want to show you something here. We realize if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, where God made man in his image, right? Well, after chapter 3 of Genesis, where Adam sinned, he took of the fruit his wife offered him. We go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 5, I apologize. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "This is the book of generations of Adam, and in the day that God created man, and in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam." So basically, if you want to look at Scripture, that's why the lady, when we get married, that's why the lady takes the man's last name. Because they said, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." But in verse 3, it says, "Adam lived 130 years and begat a son," what? "In his own likeness." It's no longer in God's image, but in Adam's likeness. And what I'm trying to point out, after his image, called his name Seth. From that point on, according to Romans chapter 5, as we read, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, death, as we see there in verse 12 and then in verse 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of his own, of him that was to come. So from that point on, sin, all man was born into sin. Okay? Death is universal. Okay? So the question I see here, or we might ask ourselves, well, it says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. What's that talking about? What kind of death is that? Well, when Adam ate of the fruit, God warned him, and he says, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Well, when Adam ate of it, he took on a sin nature because he disobeyed God, but he was still alive physically, so that means when he died spiritually. And that's what I'm trying to get at here, is the simple fact, he's dead spiritually, and in order to regain that fellowship with God, because God cannot be in the presence of sin, it says God had, he made coats of skin. Well, where did the coats of skin come from? Well, sheep, or some kind of animal. They didn't really specify. So something innocent, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, something innocent had to die to cover their sin. And that's a picture of what where it starts all the way through the Old Testament of atonement. Atonement simply is when they shed, there was blood shed. It says, if without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Okay? So we go back to the very first animal killed, an innocent animal killed on behalf of a sinful man to cover their sin. And to cover is simply is what atonement means, is to cover. Okay, it wasn't until Christ died on Calvary and shed his blood that it actually took the sin away. That's why the high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people, because it was commanded all the way back in the Old Testament. But when Christ died, it was for once and for all. Not only did he cover the sins of from that point on, but he covered the sin of all those behind that were looking towards him. Now, today, as Christians, we look back to Calvary because of what he did. So therefore, we sin because we inherited a sinful nature from Adam. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I think we're going to leave off at this thought here, so we can take time to pray tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. We're going to actually go back to verse 44. It says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. See, he was made, and God breathed into his nostrils, and he was made a living soul, if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 1. But then it says, the last Adam, this is referring to Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So we see that there's a comparison there. And it says, as the earthly, such as they also are that are earthly, and as it is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We only can bear the image of the heavenly if we've been born again, if we've trusted Christ for salvation. And that was the whole point. When God sees us, He sees Christ in us. He sees the blood of Christ that covers us and makes us. That's why we're justified, just as if we'd never sinned in God's eyes once we've trusted Christ. And it makes us in the law, as we've never done nothing. We'll be standing before the judge, and Christ is there on our behalf, saying, "He's one of mine." And He's done nothing. You know, the sins have covered, the blood has covered His sins. So therefore, it's as if we've done nothing. But once we're in Christ, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just as we looked at before in the past, there's a daily cleansing that has to take place, because we go out into the world and we're defiled by the world. It's a picture, if we were to go back to the ancient times when they went to a bathhouse to bathe and they walked back from the bathhouse, they're clean. But yet when they walk back from the bathhouse to their home, their feet are defiled by the dirt. So therefore, they had to wash their feet, which is a representation of a daily cleansing. Back when Christ was offering to wash their feet, that's what He was picturing. They were cleansed, but not all. And there was two references to that. One is that they need cleansing daily, but yet Judas was still among them, so he was not clean. He was not one of His. So we inherited a sinful nature from Adam. So hopefully from what we looked at in the Scripture tonight, we could see that. And we're in Adam's image. We're similar to who God is, because a man is a Trinity too, because he has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Just the same as God has. Christ was in the body, and then soul and spirit. See, God the Father would be considered the soul, and then the Spirit would be the Holy Spirit. So we're in like fashion. Man was made in God's image, but because of sin, we're in Adam's image, if that makes sense. So why do I sin? Because I inherited a sinful nature. Let's pray.